Before we start Pasuk Vav, so I just want to mention, last week Herb had asked me, you know, isn't it true that that a woman is not allowed to be a Jewish judge, not allowed to be a dayan, which is true. So how do we justify Devorah being appointed as a judge, not only a prophetess and a Nevi'ah, but also a judge? So not only does he ask questions, but he also answers questions. The Gemara says about certain Amoraim, they used to ask and answer. That you know, that it's the same Amora that asked the question answered the question. So he was kind enough to send me a couple of links, interesting articles online on this topic, and the most interesting bit of information in the link was that one of them was from Chabad, and the person who wrote it in Chabad said that Encyclopedia Talmudit has an article about this. So I looked up the article in Encyclopedia Talmudit, and I saw the article. It has many, many footnotes and sources. I didn't have a chance to go through everything, but just very quickly, the Encyclopedia brings several answers to this exact question as to how Devorah was permitted to judge, even though generally speaking, a woman is not permitted to judge. And we could talk about that perhaps another time, you know why that is or how we derive that. So a couple of answers. One answer is that this was an exception. She was appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So normally speaking, if we're appointing judges, so we appoint men and not women based on the different halachos that we have. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints a woman, so then it's good, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowed to appoint whomever he wants. And if he sees fit that Devorah was the proper person for this job, so then that was that's fine. That's one answer. Another answer is that based on a little bit of a more complex halacha within Hilchos Dayanus that a person is technically allowed to accept upon themselves a judge, even if the judge is technically pasul. So, for example, a relative can't judge a case, right? A relative cannot judge a case. But the Gemara discusses it, the Mishnah discusses it, right? If you have a case of a situation where a person is mekabel upon themselves a dayan who's pasul, and I say, I know that they're pasul, and for whatever reason they're pasul, but I accept it upon myself, and I'm going to accept their judgment that a person is permitted to do that. So some say that that this was like, Klal Yisrael like accepted her upon themselves, even though she technically was pasul, but Klal Yisrael accepted her upon themselves, and that was okay. It's another approach. A third approach is that she actually didn't decide any cases. So she had the knowledge, but she would inform others of what she felt, right? So you had, I guess, Dayanim there, and she was the one who had the knowledge. She understood that since she couldn't be the person on the ground, so to speak, so she advised the other Dayanim as to what she felt and how she would have, you know, paskined in this particular case, and then they would issue the final psak. That's another answer. Several different answers to this question. It's a good question, and thank you for the Marim Makom. And we can, you know, perhaps on another occasion we'll talk a little bit more in depth about it. But that was just al regalacha, since Herb asked the question last week, and he sent me the information. So it's only fitting that we should share some of it with you. Yeah.
I think there was a fourth answer.
That could be.
That she herself did not actually render the decision.
Right.
It was her power of nevuah.
Correct. You're right. I forgot about that one. You're right. Yeah, thank you. Exactly. So that's another approach that she was a Nevi'ah. That's a little controversial, actually. I'll tell you why in a second. But, you know, that she was a Nevi'ah, and her decisions were coming through her Nevu'ah and not so much through her judgment, per se. Now, the problem with that is that normally we say, Lo b'shamayim hi. Normally we say that these two realms are supposed to be independent of each other. That we have Nevi'im who share with us the word of God, you know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to them, whatever messages he has for the Jewish people. And then we have, you know, Rabbanim and Dayanim who are poskim and who decide halacha. The famous Gemara in Bava Metzia with the Tanur Shel Achnoi, where you have, it was Rabbi Eliezer, who paskined a certain way, and the majority of the Chachamim decided against him, and a Baskol came out, right? And a Baskol came out and said, the halacha is like him. The halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer. And they said, Lo b'shamayim hi. Right? The Chacham said, Lo b'shamayim hi. that we disregard the Bas Kol, and there were all sorts of simonim, the walls of the Beis Medrash fell down, and the river started going upstream, all these like supernatural signs that Rabbi Eliezer was correct, and nevertheless the Chachamim said it doesn't matter. Because even if we have all these signs, but still, Lo b'shamayim hi, that Hashem gave us the Torah, and gave us the ability to decide the halacha, and gave us the mechanisms through which to decide the halacha. So that's why that answer is a little bit controversial. I think Tosfos might give that answer, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw that quoted. But that's another answer. Good. So again, maybe on another occasion we'll talk a little bit more about this. But thank you for the question. Thank you for the answer. And now I have the little piece from the Encyclopedia Talmudic with all the footnotes, and now I have to go through all of them. So you know we'll get back to you about all that.
Thanks. Okay. More work.
Yeah, more home. No, I like this is good work. I like this work. This is good work for me.
Challenging.
Yeah, I like this. This is fun. Okay, so let's pick up now with Pasuk Vav. That's what we're up to. And we did through Pasuk Hey. And at the beginning of the parak, we were essentially introduced to Devorah. We talk about the fact that she's a Nevi'ah. We talk about the fact that she was a Shofetes. We spoke a little bit about the fact, some of the hesitations, as we said, of different factions within Bnei Yisrael to go to her. We said how she was careful about Yichud and Tznius and things like that. Okay. So now, if you remember, towards the beginning of the parak, we said, you know, the problem here with in Parak Dalet of Shoftim is that the Knanim were subjugating the Jewish people, were persecuting the Jewish people, and specifically Yavin Melech Kenan, who was the king of Chatzor, and if you remember, his general was Sisra. Sisra was a very powerful person, and Sisra and his army were settled in Charoshes Hagoyim, this place called Charoshes Hagoyim. Okay, fine. Now with them we're introduced to Devorah. Now we have Pasuk Vav. Vatishlach vatikra levarak ben Avinoam. So she calls, she sends for and calls Barak ben Avinoam. And now Barak was her husband. Barak, we said, and that's what we spoke about last time a little bit, the Eshes Lapidos. That's how Devorah is referred to. So one of his names was Barak, one of his names was Lapidos. But this was her husband. It's interesting. So one of the Radak points out here that if it's her husband, why does it say Vatishlach Vatikra? She's sending for him. Where is he? Right. I mean, if they're married, seemingly they should be together, right? Living together. You know. So what's she sending for him? So the Radak says that it must be that they're married, but they had to separate from each other because she was a Nevi'ah. Right. So just like we learned with Moshe Rabbeinu that he had to separate from his wife when he was getting Nevuah. And that was the whole story with Aaron and Miriam, you know, speaking badly about Moshe Rabbeinu. So to hear, she had to separate from him, you know, as she was getting her Nevuah. And now she was sharing, now her job was to share the Nevuah with her husband, Barak. So, Vatishlach Vatikra, she has to call him and summon him and discuss the Nevuah with him. So what was this Nevuah? And he lived in this place called Kedesh Naphtali. That was an area, it was a place in the Chelek of Naphtali. Vatomer 11, she says to him as follows, this is the Nevuah. Halotziva Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is what God, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Yisrael, commanded. And there's a question here in the Mefarshim: when exactly did He command this? So some say that Rashi, for example, quotes in Mechilta that she's referring back to something that Moshe Rabbeinu said in the Torah. Right? Hashem commanded Moshe, and Moshe commanded Bnei. So if you look throughout the Torah, Moshe says you have to wipe out the Kanani. Right, so that's part of that. That's what I mean. She's going back to an old nevuah. That's one possibility. And other mefarshim say the Malbim says that this was the nevuah. Tziva Hashem means right now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her the nevuah right now, and this is what I'm sharing with you. This nevuah that I just got. But either way, whether it's referring to an old story of Moshe Rabbeinu, whether it's a new nevuah that she just received, but either way, this is the message that she sends him. Lech umashachta bahar tavor. You need to go recruit. You need to go recruit soldiers. In Har Tavor, in Mount Tavor, v'lakachta imcha aseres alafim ish mibnei Naphtali umibnei Zvulun. And I want you to gather 10,000 men from the Shvatim of Naphtali and Zvulun. It's not clear in the Psukim or in the Mefarshim per se right here why exactly these two Shvatim. I think it might be discussed somewhere. I'm not sure. I saw some references to it, but it's not clear exactly why these two Shvatim. But that's, you know, it seems that Barak was from Naphtali. So maybe it was close to, you know, who he was and his family and his cousins, you know, and his people that knew him. So maybe they would trust him. But either way, she says, I want you to take to get 10,000 people and bring them to with you to fight against against the enemy. Now it's interesting because here there are several words in the pasuk that imply that this wasn't going to be such an easy task recruiting people. Right? You think it's, you know, I mean, the American army has a hard time recruiting people, right? Imagine Barak trying to recruit 10,000 people to go fight Sisera. And if you remember, we learned at the end of in Pasuk Gimel, right, that this was quite a powerful army that Sisera had. He had 900 iron chariots, right, 900 tanks. You know, I mean, this was like a serious army that Sisera had. So you know, it's not so pashut to come recruit 10,000 people. And that's why it says, Lech umashachta. Right, the Radak says, "Umashachta, you're going to have to persuade them. This is not going to be so simple. You're going to have to, like, you know, use your persuasive abilities, persuade them to come." The Ralbag also says the same thing, and convince them, tell them that Hashem says you're going to win. Hashem, you have to have trust in Hashem, and you got to come in and join me. Pasuk Zayin, "Umashachti Eilecha El Nachal Kishon," and now Hashem is still speaking, and Hashem says, again, Dvorah is reporting this Nevuah, that Hashem says, "I'm going to draw Sisera out to the valley of Kishon, as Sisera sar tzva Yavin. I'm going to draw him out. He's the general of Yavin. Yavin was the king of Kenan and Chatzor. V'yes richbo, v'yes hamono. I'm going to draw him out with his chariots and with his vast army. But umesatil biyadcha, and biyadcha. But you're going to be victorious." Right, I'm going to give him into your hands. You're going to be victorious. And again, this was the message that he was supposed to send. It's fascinating. The Radak here says that Sisera, you know, everybody was very into astrology back then. Right, people would ask their astrologers. We learned all about it with Moshe and Mitzrayim and all the astrologers telling Paro, you know, this and that. So here too, the Radak says that Sisera had his astrologers, and the astrologers told Sisera, "Don't go." Right, he hears that, you know, he probably heard through the grapevine that Barak is coming with a lot of men, or he's going to come with a lot of men, and the astrologers say, "Don't go. If you go, you're going to be killed. Right? If you go, you're not going to make it back." Okay, so why did he go? Hashem says, "Umashachti elecha." Hashem says, "Don't worry, I'm going to get him there. Right? I'm going to move the pieces around to make sure that Sisera is in the place where he needs to be, so that you can defeat him. Right? Because had Sisera listened to the astrologers, he would be safe and sound at home. Right?" Because they said, "Don't go to war." No, but Hashem says, "Don't worry, I'm gonna do it." And you see that this is all. Everything here is miraculous, right? Going back to all the milchamos, all the wars that we spoke about in Sefer Yehoshua, everything is miraculous. Here, Sisera wasn't supposed to go. Al piderach teva, right? According to nature, Sisera shouldn't have gone. What happens if the general, you know, talks to the intelligence, and the intelligence tells the general, "Don't go that way. They're gonna cream you." Right, if you go that way, you know, they're lying in ambush and they're going to decimate your army. No general in his right mind would do that, right? And yet here the astrologers, who are, like, you know, so to speak, like the intelligence, are telling Sisera, "Don't go." And yet Hashem said, I'm going to make him go. Mashachti elecha. Okay. Yeah.
The reason why they picked Naphtali and Zebulun, because they were on the border of Mount Tabor.
Oh, they were right there. They were local. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Good. Commentary. You got a nice commentary there. Good. Okay. Pasuk Ches. Now, so Barak has a very interesting response. Now, keep in mind, Barak is the husband of Devorah. Now, from what we learned last week, he was a kind of an unassuming guy. You know, he, like some of the Mefarshim said, he was an Amah Aretz. He wasn't a very, you know, he wasn't a very learned person. And the Devorah, really, it sounds like, wore the pants in the family. You know, literally, she was the judge. She was the Nevi'ah. You know, she was really the leader. And Barak, you know, and she, you know, she made wicks, and he would go and bring the wicks to the base. I mean, she seemed like a, you know, relatively simple fellow. Listen to this fascinating response. Va'yomer eleha Barak. So Barak turns to Devorah and responds, "Im telchi imi vehalachti. If you come with me, if you accompany me, I'll go. V'im lo telchi imi lo elech." But he says, "If you don't come, I'm not going. If you don't come, I'm not going." Right? So if you read it on a very simple level, it sounds like he's a coward. Right? On a very simple level, it sounds like he's a coward. You know, his wife is really the one in charge, and he does whatever she says. So he says, "Listen, I'm willing to go, but you got to come with me. You got to help me out here. I can't do this alone. Right? So the Mefarshim say that's not exactly what it was. But many of the Mefarshim say that here he was worried about his zechusim versus her zechusim. Right? His merits versus her merits. Because he says, "Listen, this is all going to be miraculous. Right? There's no way we're going to win this war against Sisera and his 900, you know, Rechev Barzel. There's no way we're going to win this war, you know, through natural law. So if we're going to win this war, and she's saying, you know, and my wife, who's the Nevi'ah, is saying that she got a prophecy from God that we're going to win, it's got to be miraculous. So if it's miraculous, then, you know, of course we have to go with our army, but in the end of the day, we need all the zechusim, all the merits that we can get. So if it's me or her, right, Barak says, I'm not leaving the prophetess judge of all of Bnei Yisrael who got them to do tshuva, you know, I'm not leaving her behind. I want her with me. Right, that way we're going to be successful. That's how we're going to win this war. So many the Rabag and many say that the Al-Sheikh says this as well. That's why he was so adamant that she come with him, because he says I need you there just in terms of your zechus. I need you there. The Al-Sheikh even points out he says that there's a place in Megillas Rus coming up. We're going to lay it on Shavuos coming up, and where Naomi says to Rus that even if you don't come with me, Naomi says to her, that even if you don't come with me per se, but your zechus will accompany me, and that's good enough. And here the Al-Sheikh says the reason why he's so repetitive, it's that, right? If you come with me, I'm going to go. If you don't come with me, I'm not going to go. You know, why is he elaborating so much? Just say, I need you to come with me. So why is he elaborating so much? Because he's saying, it's not like, you know, Naomi says to Rus, you know, just your zechus alone will be good enough. I don't want just your zechus. I want you, right? I want you to come. If you come with me in the flesh, right, devour in the flesh, you know, with me, you know, out to battle, so then I feel comfortable, then I feel confident that your zechus will help us be victorious, and that's why, that's the only way I'm going to go.
Did other women follow?
Other women?
Go to war?
Well, he doesn't say that he wants her to fight, right? It doesn't sound like he wants her to fight. That it doesn't sound like. It sounds like he just wants her there, you know, because if she's there, Not just moral support, spiritual support. Meaning, if she's there, you know, it's like the Melchemes Amalek, right? So you had the soldiers who were fighting, and then you have Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain, you know, davening, right? So that's, you know, and as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, and we're right, and Chura and Aaron were holding his hands, so as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, the army was victorious. If Moshe Rabbeinu stops davening, then the army is not going to be victorious anymore. So the same type of thing. You know, I'm willing to go. I believe it. I'm willing to go, but I need you with me. You know, as you're going to daven, you're going to, you know, your zechus will be with us, and then we're going to win. You know, but she wasn't going to fight. This wasn't a combat role, you know, for Devorah. She was a Nevi'ah and a Shofetis. I'm not sure that she was a soldier, you know, but this she was. It's interesting. The Malbim says that you know, it's you know, this is kind of a strange pasuk because it's usher to contradict the Navi. So if a Navi comes and tells you something, he tells you got to do something. You got, you know, the Navi, he or she got a nevuah and comes to you and says, "Listen, the Ribono Shel Olam wants you to go somewhere." What are you going to say? No, right? He starts making conditions. If you come with me, I'm going to come. If you don't, right? What happened to Yonah? That didn't turn out so well, right? When he didn't want to do what God said, right? He gets swallowed by a fish. So you know, so Barak here, what's he doing? He starts making conditions. The Ribono Shel Olam, the Navi just came. Right, the Nevi'ah just came and told you exactly what Hashem wants you to do. So you're now questioning the Navi, you're questioning the Nevuah. How is he even allowed to do that? Right, the Malbim is bothered. So the Malbim says it can't be that he's contradicting the Nevuah. So he says it must be that he's questioning the Nevuah. He's saying to her, "Are you sure?" Because keep in mind, Nevuah, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who got direct communication from Hashem. Otherwise, a Navi saw some sort of a vision. The Navi was sleeping, the Navi got a dream, some sort of a vision, and then the Navi had to interpret that vision. So he's questioning, are you sure you interpreted this Nevuah correctly? Because according to what you're telling me, this doesn't seem to add up. This doesn't seem to make sense. I'm going to war, right? You're the great person. You're the tzaddikus. You're the shofetis, you're the Nevi'ah. And you want me to go to war without you? That doesn't seem to make sense. So what he's doing really is questioning her interpretation of the Nevuah. Are you sure that you interpreted this correctly? Maybe really you're supposed to come with me. Right? Maybe I'm not supposed to go at this alone. And in fact, he says that if you don't come with me, how in the world am I going to recruit 10,000 people? If you come with me and you're the Nevi'ah, you're the Shofetis, you're the leader of Klal Yisrael, and you come and you say, Chevra, I got a Nevuah. Hashem says we're going to be victorious. Let's go to war. So you'll get 10,000 men to join you and you'll go to war. I'm going to come and I'm going to say, the Nevi'ah says that we're going to be successful and we need 10,000 people to go to war. Everybody's going to say, you know, Shalom Aleichem, have a nice day. You know, I need you, right? Yeah, I need you to convince these people that we're going to be victorious, that Hashem says, you know, he's going to be with us, and I need you to come with us.
Rabbi,
yeah.
They mentioned the fact that she sent for him and didn't go to him.
Right, 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 right.
Was a sign of disrespect. So,
uh-huh.
You come with me, this way you're going to correct that.
Disrespect. Oh, interesting, interesting, interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. So the Malbim also, the Malbim brings these two opinions, meaning the question is, what does Barak really want from her? Either he wants her, and these, he says these are two opinions, he quotes a Medrash, and he says these are perhaps two opinions in the Medrash, that either he wants her because he feels like without her, he's not going to be able to recruit the necessary number of troops, right? I'm not going to be able to convince 10,000 men to come without you there personally, convinced, you know, telling everyone that it's going to be okay, and that Hashem is going to be with us. That's one interpretation. And the other interpretation is that he wants her there for the war itself. So we'll be successful. If we have you there, and you have that tzchus, like we said, Moshe Rabbeinu davening, so then we'll be successful in the war. So these are two reasons why he wants her to come. Now, her response is also fascinating. Let's take a look at Pasuk Tes. Vatomer, so says Devorah, Haloch Eilech Imach. She says, fine, I'll come with you. But, Ephes, Ki lo sihyeh tif'artecha al haderech asher ata holeich. She says, but you're not gonna have the reputation. If you go out to war and I'm coming with you, you're not going to have the reputation of being the victorious general here at battle. Ki biyad isha yimkor asheves sisra. Now, Pashup Shad in the Pesukim is that she's saying that it's going to be because of me. So if you're telling me, like some of the Mefarshim are saying, that you want me to come because that the merit of the victory is going to be in my merit, so fine, so I'll come with you. But just know that this is how it's going to go down in the history books. It's going to go down in the history books that, yeah, B'nai Yisrael defeated Sisera and Yovin Melech Kenan, but who was the real impetus for the defeat, for the victory? That was me, Devorah. And you, yeah, you know, you're the puppet general. You know, you're not really accomplishing much. Okay? But it sounds like he's okay with that. You know, it sounds like he's okay with that. Again, he's the understated husband. You know, he's the one, he's okay with his wife going out in front. So it sounds like he's also okay with the, you know, with going down in the history books as the you know, not as the victorious general. It's okay, you know. Yimkor Hashem biyad
Isha. Is Devorah implying Isha in her or
okay?
Woman?
Okay, so I'm good. Good. We're gonna get there. Good.
Yeah, yeah.
So Pashup Shad in the pasuk is that she sounds like he's referring to herself, but we'll see that in a second. Vatakum Devorah vatelech in Barak Kedsha, and Devorah gets up and she goes with Barak to Kadesh. That's where they're going to recruit these troops. Okay? Now, so the Radak says that the woman she's referring to, Biad Isha, is referring to herself. She's referring to herself, Devorah. That's what the Radak says. And the Ralbag also says that. However, the Ralbag also says, exactly like Marvin is saying, that Marvin was Mechavet to the Ralbag, the Ralbag says that in the Nevuah, this also alludes to Ya'el. So the Pashut Pshat in the Pasuk is referring to Devorah. She's saying, listen, I'm going to be, if you want me to come, because you want my merit as, you know, to help you defeat, you know, to help you defeat the Canaanim, okay, fine, but, you know, but I'm going to be responsible for the victory. But the Nevuah is alluding to which Isha? Ya'el. And we're going to see Ya'el is the one who eventually kills Sisera, and we'll see that in a minute. Okay, so that's how the Ralbag understands the hint in the Nevuah here. Okay, very interesting. So the Mitzudas David says that a general will become famous for one of two reasons. Okay, he'll become famous for one of two reasons. Either because he fights bravely, that's reason number one. Reason number two is if he's able to bring down a big, powerful enemy, that'll also make him famous. So either it's fighting bravely, or it's conquering, actually killing a powerful enemy. Those are two ways that a general can become famous and powerful and get glory in the world of battle. And Devorah is telling him that she's saying, listen, Ya'el is going to be the one who's going to kill Sisera. So that element, you're not going to have. You're not going to defeat Sisera because Ya'el is going to do it, right? So she's saying to him, at least get the glory of going out bravely to battle. But here you're telling me, no, I want you to come, you know, right? So you don't even have that one, right? So you're not going to get the one of killing Sisera, because that Ya'el is going to get for whatever reason. We'll talk about that in a second, and so at least get the glory because you went out bravely to battle. That you're not going to get either. So that's how the Metzudah HaSdavar understands her argument here. Now, why was it, and the Metzudah HaSdavar explains, why was it that specifically Yael was destined to kill Sisera? And according to this, it was already worked out. The Hashgacha already had it that Yael was going to kill Sisera. Why? So says the Metzudas David, because Hashem, you know, this is an astounding event, Yael killing Sisera. This is one of the stories in Shoftim that everybody knows. Everybody knows this story of Yael killing Sisera. You know, much of Shoftim we have forgot already from fourth grade or fifth grade, whenever we learned it, right? But the story of Yael killing Sisera, that everybody remembers. Why? Because it's so wild. Right? Here you have this woman who's not portrayed as like a warrior. No, she's a regular woman. She was in the tent, you know, it sounds like she's like a regular housewife almost. And she's the one who kills this huge, powerful general. She has a whole strategy how she does it, which we know and we'll talk about, right? But here, so says the Metzudas David, the point was to drive home the point that this whole victory is miraculous. This is not derech hateva. This is not natural. Right? If it's natural, there's no way that a little housewife is killing the most prominent general in the region right now. It's not going to happen, right? So Hashem specifically wanted Sisera to fall at the hands of a regular old woman, so to speak, a regular woman, to show how supernatural this miracle, this battle really was. That this is all in Hashem's hands. Hashem's working out. Hashem's behind the scenes, putting all the pieces into place and moving everything where it needs to go. Right, that's the reason for it. Now, interestingly, the Malbim seems to disagree. And the Malbim seems to understand that really Barak would have killed Sisera. Had Barak gone the way that Devorah said he should, based on the Nevuah, Barak would have been Zocha to kill Sisera. But since he hesitated, and since he said, I don't want to go alone, so he had a little bit of a chisaron of emunah. He didn't trust in Hashem 100% the way that he should. And the Navi tells you to go, you go. Right? He didn't trust in Hashem the way, 100% the way that he should have, and therefore he was punished, and this merit of killing Sisera was taken from him and given to Yael. And that was also a little bit of a slap in the face to Barak, that here, you're not going to be able to kill Sisera, but we're going to give it to this nice woman in the tent over here, this housewife. We're going to let her kill Sisera, and that'll be a little punch in the face to you, because you really should have listened, and you should have done what you were told, as the Navi tells you. So that's how the Malbim understands that he was actually taken to task for this a little bit. And the idea being that sometimes when, you know, they say when opportunity knocks, right, you gotta take it, you gotta open the door, right? So sometimes when the opportunity presents itself, especially if it's coming from a Navi, right, it wasn't just a regular opportunity here, it was because of coming from the Navi, and she was giving him instructions as to how he should act. He wasn't going along with it. So for that he's taken to task. For that he was punished a little bit, and this was taken away from him. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Vayazek Barak es Zevulun ves Naftali Kedsha. So here, Vayazek, it means that he gathered. So Barak goes to Kedesh, and he gathers the people from Zevulun and the people of Naftali. And again, it sounds like, you know, and as and it sounds like at the end of the Pasuk, we see Devorah is coming with him. Vayal biraglov aseres alfe ish, and he comes, and it sounds like, you know, with his feet, he's gathering these 10,000 men. Vatal imo Devorah, and Devorah comes up with him as well. Now it's an interesting word, biraglov, right? He's coming with his feet. What does that mean? That he, you know, that he comes up with his feet. The Malbim says two interpretations here. Either number one, that in the end he was successful in recruiting these men on his own merits, right? When he came, and Devorah was with him, but she stayed in the background. And now he came, and he made a speech, and whatever he did to recruit these men, you know, saying that my wife, Devorah, the Nevi'ah, she came, and she said, the Nevuah from Hashem, we're going to be successful, Hashem's going to give him in our hands, and I need 10,000 men. And Vayal Beraglav Aseres Alfeish, it was his doing, right? It was his effort that paid off and got the 10,000 men. So here the Pasuk is saying that although he was nervous, According to the Malbim, he was nervous. You know, I'm not going to be able to do this without. I'm not going to be able to recruit all these men without you. In the end of the day, he was successful in recruiting them, and not just her, right? So that's one interpretation. The other interpretation the Malbim says is that maybe this is to emphasize the point that he didn't even have a chariot. Vayal Biraglov. He didn't even have a horse and chariot. The guy, the poor guy. He's a general. He's walking along to battle, right? Meanwhile, Sisera's got his 900 chariots. He's got the most powerful army out there. And, you know, Barak is a little schleppy army. right? You know, without much artillery, and nevertheless, he's successful. Also goes to drive home the point how miraculous this battle was. This wasn't a natural battle. This was a supernatural, miraculous battle that Hashem allowed Barak to be successful and to defeat the Canaanim. Now comes the pasuk and says a little bit of a side point, but it's going to be very important in a few moments. And pasuk Yud Aleph, the Chever Hakeni Nifrad Mikayin Mibnei Chovav Chosein Moshe. So here we're talking about Yisro. We call him Chovav here. Yisro had, we know, seven names. Rashi identifies them. Rashi Allah Torah tells us the seven names of Yisro. One of them was Chovav, right? Chovav also implies Chaviv, that he loved. You know, he loved Judaism and he loved Hashem and he loved the Torah. So this was Chovav, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Chovav, Yisro, had several sons. And one of them, or descendant, was Chever Hakeni. Chever Hakeni was one of the sons, and he separated from the other brothers, right? So you have the whole family of Yisro, all the descendants of Yisro, and they all lived together. And this one Chever Hakeni, he separated himself and he grew his family in a different location. Where did he go? Pasuk says, "Vayet aholo ad elon b'tzananim asher es kedesh." And he went to this place, Elon B'tzananim, which was right near Kadesh, exactly the place where the recruiting is happening, right? That's where Barak went with Devorah to recruit these troops. So right near there was a little town called Elon B'tzananim, and that's where Chever Hakeni was settled with his family. Now, it doesn't tell us, the Pasuk does not identify this just yet, but Chever Hakeni's wife was Yael. Right, Yael was the wife of Chever Hakeni. So that's why the Navi is laying the foundation here of how this victory is going to happen. So this family was separate. Now it's very interesting that what's the significance of this? So the Ralbag explains that this family, they kept Judaism, so to speak. Right, they kept Judaism. They kept the Torah. Or at least, Jewish rituals or whatever it was. But they were at peace with the Canaanim. They had a peace treaty with the Canaanim. So they were kind of like in between, right? So the Canaanim are at war with Bnei Yisrael. They're persecuting and subjugating Bnei Yisrael. This group of Bnei Chov of Chosein Moshe have a treaty with the Canaanim. So they're kind of in cahoots with them. But at the same time, they still, Yisrael was a very fond... member of the Jewish people or whatever, if he became a member exactly, but he was very fond of the Jewish people, so they kept certain Jewish practices, but they also had this like alliance with the Canaanim. Okay, so this was like a strange paradox that they had here. He gives different reasons of why that might be, why did they do that? But in the end that's what happened. Now it's important that they left this place. It's important that they left here because, as we're going to see, you can't. Yael's going to be the one who's going to kill Sisera, right? I started to spoil the ending, but right, most of you know that, I imagine, right? So Yael's going to be the one to kill Sisera, and you can't kill the general if you have a treaty and a pact with them, right? So if the whole family has this, peace accord and peace treaty, and they're in cahoots with the Canaanim, so you can't have someone from that clan going ahead and killing the general, right? That's highly inappropriate. That doesn't reflect well on your peace accord. So because of that, already this family was already a little bit separate from the rest of the clan. They were a little bit distanced. They separated themselves. They lived in a different area, and because of that, they're already. You could see that they're not exactly in cahoots the same way with the Canaanim as the rest of their family. This is kind of like the frummer side of the family, so to speak. They're not so close with the Canaanim. They're a little, closer with Bnei Yisrael. And the Al-Sheikh says that you see that Hashem is already planting the seeds. Right? Even the fact that this Chever Hakeni separated, broke off from the rest of his family, and settled in a different place, you see that Hashem is planting the seeds of the redemption. It's amazing. We all, of course, we talk about this, when we read Megillas Esther. You know, you read Megillas Esther, just it's like a gorgeous tapestry. You know, Hashem weaving all the pieces of the redemption together. He puts this into place and that into place, and then the story unfolds and comes back to those pieces, you know, and everything kind of comes together in a beautiful way. And at the end, you know, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Bnei Yisrael to be victorious. You know, so there it's highlighted in Megillas Esther. We always talk about that. But here in Tanakh, you see the same thing. You know, you see that Hashem is planting the seeds. He's planting the seeds of the redemption. You know, that Chevrakeni is separate. And again, when that happened, did anybody think? Nobody thought that down the line, this is going to be important for the Jewish salvation. Nobody thought about that. People probably wondered, you know, why is this family separating? What's going on? There's no Shalom Bayis. You know, who knows, you know, what happened. But you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's planting the seeds. As Chazal say, Refuah Kodem Lamaka. That before Hashem hits Bnei Yisrael, he has the Refuah stocked away in the closet, ready to come out when the time is right. So as much as sometimes we need a little patch, and sometimes we need a little scolding from the Ribbono Shel Olam and a little punishment, but Hashem always has the refuah. He's always got it stored up there, ready to go. So here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that as well. Pasuk Yudbeis, now Sisera hears the news. Vayagidu leSisera ki ala Barak ben Avinoam har Tavor. So Sisera hears that Barak ben Avinoam is going up to Har Tavor. Okay, and Barak is in the lead. It's interesting that the Ralbag proves from here, because again, it doesn't say anywhere in the Psukim explicitly that Barak and Devorah are married. It never says that, because it calls Devorah Eshes Lapidos, number one, and then it just says that she speaks to Barak ben Avinoam. So if you just read the Psukim straight, you could come to the conclusion that Barak ben Avinoam was just a regular general, right? He wasn't married to Devorah. But we know from Chazal that they were married, and the Ralbag says this proves that they're married. Why? Because who's the one who's really in the lead here? It's really Devorah, right? Devorah's, I mean, she's the one who's really in charge. You know, she's telling Barak what to do. Now, for the Pasuk to come and say that Barak is the one leading the troops, they've got to be married. Because if they're not married, he says, how could the Pasuk say that Barak is the one leading the troops? It was really Devorah leading the troops. But since they're married, it's a husband and wife, so, you know, it's not a big deal. You'll say the husband's doing it even though the wife's doing it, because they're really one unit. But if they weren't one unit, you wouldn't be able to take away that covered from Devorah and give it to this guy Barak, who's just basically following orders. So that's why the Rabbah says this is another proof, even in the Psukim, that they must have been married. Okay, that's just an aside. So the Metzudas David says that Barak, Sisera, I'm sorry, hears that Barak is coming up Har Tavor. He comes up the mountain, he wants to fight. Right, he's coming up with an army. He's coming up with 10,000 men. He's coming up to the mountain. He wants to fight. So Sisera says, "All right, that's it." You know, Sisera's always up for a good fight. You know, he's a ruthless general. Pasuk Yud Gimel Vayazik Sisera's called Richbo Tisha Meos Rechev Barzel. So Sisera gets, he mobilizes the whole army. Right, he's got the 900 iron chariots, and he mobilizes them. V'es kol ha'am asher ito, and he mobilizes all of his troops, his entire army. Me'charoshes hagoyim el nachal kishon, from Charoshes hagoyim, which was where they were settled, and all the way to Nachal Kishon, to the valley of Kishon. Remember, that was the Nevuah, where Hashem said through Devorah that I'm going to bring Sisera out to Nachal Kishon. So this is the fulfillment of that Nevuah. He's coming out with his whole army to Nachal Kishon. Okay? It's also amazing that, why did he need his whole army? Barak was coming with 10,000 men, not even a chariot. Right? We just said Barak love, according to some of the Mepharshim. He didn't even have any horses. No horses, no chariots. Right? Sisera needs his entire army for 10,000 men. He needs his 900 chariots for 10,000 men. You don't need that much manpower. Right? So why did he mobilize everyone? So again, the Malbim says this was a Ribbono Shel Olam at work. The Ribbono Shel Olam puts in his head that's it, I want to just wipe them off the map. So let's bring everybody. Let's mobilize everybody. Now what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that whoever's out there is going to get defeated. Bnei Yisrael is going to win. Right? So Kodesh Baruch Hu plants the seed in this guy's head. Also keep in mind, he's a little bit of a Balgaiva. Right? So he plants the seed in his head. Let's bring out the whole army and let's just decimate. We'll wipe Barak off the map. You know, this chutzpah, this Jew thinks he's going to come and fight with me. I'm just going to do away with him, you know, chick-chock, nice and quick. Let's bring the whole army out. We'll just wipe him out. Right? Meanwhile, Kodesh Baruch Hu planted that seed so that everybody would come. And also Nachal Kishon, right? The fact that he's going to Nachal Kishon is also, you know, why did he do that? Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planting the seeds in his head. Pasuk Yudalid. Vatomer Devorah El Barak. So Devorah says to Barak, and again, right? Barak's the general, Devorah's in the background. She's always the one telling him what to do, telling him, okay, now's the time. Kum, ki zeh hayom ha'shenasan Hashem es Sisera biyadecha. She says, today's the day. right? Get up. Today's the day. Go do it. Go fight him. Halo Hashem Yatzala Fanecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has come out before you. Vayered Barak Mehar Tavor Vaaseres Alafim Ishacharav. Barak comes down from Har Tavor. He's on this mountain, right? Sisera's in the valley of Nachal Kishon. So he's on the mountain of Har Tavor. Barak comes down. He starts descending the mountain with his 10,000 men. And the Mitzudah stuff, it says that's the Kum. Kum is don't wait. Go get him. Right? I'm telling you, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, right, this is the day Hashem is going to make you successful. Don't just wait here for them to come. Go down and go get him. Okay? Don't wait. And the Malam says also, right, today. Kum kizeh hayom. You have to do it today, not tomorrow. Right? Today's the right day for this. Right? Also, it just drives home the point that, you know, so that sometimes there are, like, kol zman v'ayis. Everything has its proper time. And sometimes if it's time to do it, right, like Chazal tells us, mitzvah haba liyadcha atach mitzena. If a mitzvah comes to your hands, don't let it pass. Why? Because if you let it pass, that's it. You might miss the opportunity. So if the time is now, you got to grab the bull by the horns. Something comes your way and it's good, grab it and do it. Right? So she's saying, now's the time. Hayom, today. Today's the day. Okay, so that's her message. Pasuk tes vav. So what happens? Vayoham Hashem es Sisera v'eskol ha-rechav v'eskol ha-machane l'fi cherev l'fnei Barak. Right? HaKadosh Baruch, and it's clear. Vayoham Hashem. Right? It's not even like Barak. You know, Barak is barely doing anything here. Hashem comes and he totally confuses. He throws them into a state of utter confusion. Sisera and all of his chariots and his whole camp. Right? Vayerit Sisera me'al ha-merkava vayonas paraglov. Now what exactly is this Vayoham? What is this? So it could be that just, you know, Barak's coming down with his 10,000 men, and naturally he shouldn't have been so scared, but for whatever reason, Hashem made him scared. Hashem made him scared. And not just him, but everybody's scared. And they all were petrified from Barak and this army descending the mountain. The Malbim also says that this was also a miracle, that all of a sudden, Sisera, you know, starts listening, and he starts hearing things. And he hears a whole army coming. Now again, Barak is coming with 10,000, and 10,000 is a lot of men, but it's not as much as, you know, many of these other armies. Sisera had more men. It doesn't say exactly how many. But he certainly had 900, you know, chariots. So here Barak comes, and Barak has all the chariots. Barak has all the, you know, Barak is coming down, and he starts hearing things. He starts hearing chariots coming, and, you know, and thousands and upon thousands, even more than 10,000. He starts hearing all these things, you know, coming down the mountain. And that scares him. So whether it was miraculous and he was hearing things that weren't there, or he actually sees Barak and his army and that just scares him, but whatever the case was, he's petrified and he's scared and he runs. And he runs. And in fact, it says that he gets down from his chariot. He leaves his chariot behind and he flees on foot. Right? Vayanas Baraglav. He flees on foot because he feels like, you know, maybe I'll have a better chance of surviving. If I just, you know, on foot, I can, you know, you can, you know, hide in a bush. You can go somewhere. You know, so that's exactly what he's doing. Okay, pasuk tes zayin uvarak radaf acharei harechev veacharei hamachaneh. So Barak and his men chase after the chariots, chase after the camp of Sisera and his soldiers ad charoshes hagoyim, and they chase them all the way back to charoshes hagoyim where they came from. Vayipol kol machane Yisrael. I'm sorry. Vayipol kol machane Sisera lefi cherev, and they killed the entire camp. Everyone. They killed all the soldiers of Sisera. They killed them. Lo nishar ad echad. And not one remained. Not one remained. And it's interesting, because you see here that where they go, they went back to Charoshes Hagoyim. Right? So as soon as they got scared, what happened? They retreated. They started running back to their hometown. Bnei Yisrael followed them. Right? Bnei Yisrael followed them. And they just killed whoever they saw. They killed whoever they encountered. Now it says that not one survived. And obviously we know that there was one survivor. Who was that one survivor? Sisera. Sisera was the one survivor. And we'll see, we don't have time now, but we'll see him in Sashem next week, that the reason why Sisera survived is because he ran in a different direction. He didn't go back to Charoshes Hagoyim like everybody else, because he knew that everybody's that we're going to retreat to Charoshes Hagoyim, they're just going to follow us and they're going to decimate us. So he snuck off to the side, and we'll see exactly next week in Mirtz Hashem what happens to him and how he meets his fate.